You're listening to Studio Plus. Today we will have our first installment of Career Builder. Here in our studio is Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. His company has over 10 years of experience here in China. As this is our first installment of the show, we will start with the most basic, the first step towards career building, how to make an attractive CV. Also, at the end of the show, we will leave some time to answer listeners' questions. So if you have any questions, please don't hesitate. Send us your questions about your career or job seeking to us right now. And you can pose your questions through our Weibo, 英语环球广播, or through WeChat, 英语环球News+. Or you can send your questions through email, newsplus@sierra.com.cn. So, Robert, welcome to the studio.
Good afternoon, Madeline. Good afternoon. Great to be with you.
Yes. Now, HR and the recruitment departments are used to reading hundreds of CV a day, and the reality is that often only 30 seconds or so is spent reading CVs because of the high number of applicants, particularly for jobs for people in the zero non-experience to 6 years postgraduate bracket. We know that one's CV is definitely somebody's entry card to the job interview room. So it's a good idea to give yourself a head start. So what are the top five specific tips you want to give us for writing a great resume or CV?
Sure. Well, I've got first five real specific down-to-earth things for you. The first thing is divide your resume up into sections to make it easy for the person reading it to understand. So the first section is clearly the personal section. What is your name? How old are you if the country you live in permits? What is your nationality? Because that's relevant for visa issues, for example. And which languages do you speak? That's real basic, important stuff. Then we move on to education. It doesn't have to be extensive, but what university you went to. If you've got a great degree, if you've got a first-class degree, then say so. Use it as an opportunity to advertise your achievements. But the vast majority of your CV should be dedicated then to work experience. The second point I'd make is that space is really important in resumes. You know, proportions, fonts. We don't want too many wacky fonts out there in different colours. We want to make sure it's aligned. It looks like a professional business document.
So actually, my understanding of your first point is that you write everything you can boast of onto that page, right? Especially your work experience is very important.
Absolutely right.
And good education background.
Absolutely.
And the second is about the neat tidiness of your paper.
Exactly. Imagine you were going for a job interview. You know, you wear your best suit and tie, you get your hair cut and so on. It's the same with a CV. Make it look good. You know, one of my comments about China actually is that people who use the, and I hope I won't be sued for saying so, but the Jiaopin.com format is a horrible format. And if people, particularly youngsters, spend the time to make their CVs look really good, attractive, that speaks also to their personality. You know, if you do something right on paper, you probably do something right in your job too.
But I want to dig into that thing because usually people are advised to write a well-formatted resume or CV. And now you're telling us that the Jiaoping.com, the certain format is terrible. So do we need a format or not?
Yeah, we absolutely do. And I would, again, stick to the personal, the education, the work experience. To lead you through the work experience, I would suggest spending a page and a half. A standard CV would be 2 pages. Spend a page and a half on the work experience. You want to go in reverse order, so your current position first, and then you have your last position last. And really focus on that. So with our work experience, we want to be clear on what your position was, who you reported to, if anyone reported to you. That's important to set the scene, to paint the picture of how your position relates to other people in the company.
Talk about work experience. If I'm a new graduate and have zero work experience, how am I going to look good on my CV?
Well, that's a super question. And one of the things I like about the Chinese youngsters I know is that they're very industrious and they put themselves forward for many, many internships whilst they're at university and they're studying. And I know people who've done, you know, 5 or even 10 internships. So all of that's good stuff and can go on there. Anything you've done whilst at university is appropriate and can go into the CV. You know, it's your space to fill up as you will. So I think you have to look from the perspective of where you are. If you take it from the other perspective, if you're 45, then clearly you'll focus less on what you did at university and more on what you've done in the last 5 to 6 years.
That's exactly what I want to ask you. If on the opposite, you know, I'm a very, very, very experienced person. I have too many things to write.
Sure.
You know, on the piece of paper, what am I supposed to choose what to write, what not to?
Sure. I mean, my advice is always for people to focus on the last 6 years, really, of their employment history and focus on the, first of all, the key responsibilities. And I underline the word key. You know, we all have hundreds of responsibilities. If I wrote down in a book all of my responsibilities, it would be a very, very long book indeed, I can tell you. But we focus on the top three things. So, for example, if you're a marketing director for a drinks company in China, your main responsibility is clearly
to
increase market share.
Yes.
And perhaps to run a marketing team and perhaps to participate in the management team. Those are the key things. Then we move on to describe what we've achieved in the actual role.
Now, sorry to interrupt you.
Not at all.
Okay, are numbers good?
Numbers are brilliant.
For example, if I'm a salesperson that I write that last year I sold, you know, millions of barrels of beer to American people. Is that number good? Looks good?
Absolutely. Numbers look great as long as you can back them up, because you find that companies do their due diligence. They will ask to see proof. You know, one of the, we had a candidate in our office the other day who was the top salesperson amongst a company, a sales force of 1,000 people, but he had the evidence to show it. And that was the powerful thing. You know, anyone can talk. And it's been said that in many different countries, a high proportion of CVs are, how can I put it kindly, made up.
But how can these numbers to be verified? I mean,
well, I think,
you know, how could we know that this guy is not really putting up fake numbers over there?
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think you've got to keep that in mind. You've got to bring along awards and documentation from companies. And, you know, it's fairly easy to tell an award, certainly from a large blue chip company, which is a genuine award, or not. You could have perhaps a picture of you being given that award at an awards ceremony, for example.
And recommendation letters are okay, right, from your boss or whatever.
Absolutely, but they're a second stage. I would always keep those in as a second point and wouldn't be too quick to give those out.
And so
I was going to say, so if you've got a limit on your resume, what are the top things you say can be cut out? If you've got someone who's building a resume and he thinks, okay, it's too long, some of it needs to go, are there any specific sections you could just say, okay, well, education, I may be able to downplay that and not put too much of that in, or my work experience, I'm only going to put in my last job. Are there any specific sections that may not be that necessary to impressing an employer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think one important thing to understand is not to leave gaps in your CV. So if you went traveling...
What do you mean by gaps?
So if you did a sabbatical or you went traveling for 6 months, that's okay. Put it in there. Make it clear. Make it explicit. I think things to leave out are introductory statements. I've read CVs that say, I am a strategic thinking, you know, business executive, blah, 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 blah. It sounds silly. Leave it out. The other pet favorite that I have to leave out is talking in the third person. So if I'm talking in the third person, I'm...
You are listening to Studio Plus, and we are in the midst of a conversation with Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMB Selection. Stay tuned.
Studio Plus, a feast of news, culture, and views.
All right, let's go.
Tune in to meet some fascinating people, share their stories.
China is one of the great creative countries.
Old Beijing style.
Exclusively Chinese musicals.
Studio Plus, something fresh.
Then add in your mushrooms.
Something fun. Something more. Studio Plus.
Studio Plus. Yes, we are Studio Plus, and this is our career builder. And here in the studio is Robert Parkinson, founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And Robert, let's continue our conversation that we are talking about how to make our CV look beautiful and neat and tidy. And the question is that just now Sam asked, you know, how long or what, you know, necessary to keep on the CV or what can be dropped?
Right, what can be dropped? Let's drop the introductory statements, which can sound a little bit pompous and a little bit self-congratulatory anyway. Let's definitely not talk in the third person. So what I mean by that is, my name is Robert Parkinson. I am the CEO of RMG Selection. My responsibilities are, there's only one person I know that can talk in the third person, and that's the Queen of England. So we wouldn't want to upset her in any way, shape, or form. Hobbies and skills and interests, I'm not sure there's enough space. I think there's better space to be used on a CV than those sorts of things. And keep in mind that we're looking to limit a CV between 2 and 3 pages.
Mm-hmm. But go. Let's go back to the hobbies.
Sure.
Because there are companies who are emphasizing, you know, what sort of hobbies and interests you have in order to get to know
who you are.
You are, yeah, as a person, integrity, the whole picture of one person.
I can think of a really good example of someone I knew that applied for a job once, and he said, in my free time, I like to spend it with my wife and my 3 children, and that's it to his employer. This is a family man, he's responsible, I like him, and he got the job.
Let's ask Robert, is your hobby weigh that much in your career sort of opportunity?
I think they certainly speak to your personality, and I would agree with that. But I think they're probably the most appropriate time to mention that is in the second stage, when you're actually meeting people, you know, and looking for similarities that we build rapport based on. I think it's not necessarily important for the first stage. We also need to keep in mind that often people screening CVs on a first stage haven't got that much experience. We must respect them, of course, and especially foreigners must respect the Chinese people, but they're not so interested in hobbies. Chinese companies are interested in matching up. Do you have the skills specified in the job requisition or not?
Mm-hmm. Talking about Chinese job applicants writing CVs or resumes, so what sort of common mistakes you detected in their resumes?
Sure. I mean, the most common mistake, I suppose, is just it's too long and it's verbose. And
we are good at writing.
You are good at writing. And what I would advise and recommend is that you use bullet points to shorten your text. Don't write in prose. Keep it short and be brutal with cutting out all the extraneous, non-essential information.
Is it because people are impatient now to read lengthy stories?
I think, you know, at all times we need to keep in mind that the purpose of a CV is to get us the next stage, an advancement in the process, and we need to make that as easy as possible.
Good, Robert. So very constructive advice. Now, we have some listeners who have already written in to ask you questions. Most of the questions we have here are from Weibo. One named Xiao Bai, the little white, 31686048744. She or he, because we don't know. The question is, how should I tailor my resume to make it more attractive? The same thing, actually, you repeated just now.
Sure. I think you need to look carefully. You know, who am I applying to? What is the job I'm applying to? And we need to keep in things that are relevant to that company and to that job.
Mm-hmm. And the second one is that Liu Xiyue 2012. Could you give us some advice on how to survive the internship period, which I think is a little too long for us newbies?
Yeah, don't survive it. Thrive on it. Enjoy it. Your internship period is there to give you experience in the working world. And the more you can make of that, the better it will be for you.
And another question we've had is there any difference between writing a CV for a Chinese company and a foreign company?
I would say for a Chinese company, again, we need to go and drill down more into the detail of the specific job. We need to cover the education, which is seen as very important. Whereas foreign companies may look more at the bigger picture, the person, who is the person, what are their values, what will they bring to the table in the longer term.
And Sam, what's the name of this question poster, you know?
We've not got the name for the blog here. I do apologize.
And here I have another question. Maybe it's a little bit irrelevant to what our content today, but it's a good question. YYKKMI said, how can I find the most suitable position for myself?
Yeah.
Well, it's a long story, right?
It is indeed. I think, you know, there's various different bits of pieces of advice you can take in what is good for you. I recommend personally testing and psychometric assessment. But ultimately, if you ask most people in their 40s, did you think you would be doing what you're doing now when you were 18 years old? The answer will be no.
Different stages, you have different ideas
so
about yourself.
I think it's a question of imagining life as a big pool and just jumping in.
And we have two more questions. Do we have time to finish them? Okay, we are running out of time. And the listeners that Jolie Lee leads and another person, we keep these questions for the next time, okay? And please tune in to listen to Robert Parkinson, and founder and CEO of RMG Selection, a leading Asia-focused executive search business. And he will give us advices on how to build our career. Thank you, Robert.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, Robert. You are listening to Studio Plus.